You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
You're listening to Garibaldi Red, a Nottingham Forest podcast brought to you by Nottinghamshire Live.
Hello, welcome to Garibaldi Red and welcome to another World Cup special as we catch up with Reds fans, former players and coaches to carry us through the World Cup. I'm delighted to be joined today by Simon Bristow, a Reds fan who you may know as Our Glorious Banners on Twitter. Simon, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Matt. Yeah, very good. Thank you.
Good. Thanks for joining me. The reason you're here is you've got the most popular book since, I don't know, the Bible, by the sound of it, in the photo kind of analogue you've written covering last season. Tell us a bit about it. Tell us a bit about yourself as well, for people who don't know you.
I've been a Forest fan for 30 plus years now. Grew up in Southwell, and late 80s, I was being influenced by my dad, who's an Arsenal fan, and my mates, who were Forest fans. And at the time, Arsenal and Forest were pretty much the same club. We always kind of finished around the same place in the league and same place in the cups. And so I went with my mates and went against my dad's wishes, became a Forest fan. It had a good first couple of years, going to Wembley to the 89 League Cup final, and Forest used to win stuff. And then it was pretty dreadful for 25 odd years with the odd spike. Occasionally my dad did suggest that maybe I regretted the decision to be a Forest fan, but no, stayed true to them throughout. And working down in London and got involved with the London Trickies organization down there, and then had time working out in Germany with Adidas and managed to find two or three Forest fans in the middle of Bavaria out there, which was great. And then came home and did work at the club for a little bit. So spent a year or so there just after the Maranakis takeover, and then have kind of just gone back into what I prefer of just being a fan. It's quite stressful working for your football club. I wouldn't necessarily suggest anyone ever does it. It's nice being a fan and just being able to go to games and enjoy it.
So, as I said, you're Our Glorious Banners on Twitter. You photograph, you're not like Richie Sumter who photographs the action, but you kind of photograph the fans and the scene around it and try and capture the atmosphere of the day. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's fair to say, definitely. I would say that I have no talent when compared to someone like Richie, who's an absolute master of what he does. And I think genuinely one of the best sports football photographers that there is. So we're really blessed that we have Richie doing the photos of our games every week, because it's incredible, his work. I became a bit of a hobbyist. I think I kind of reached a point where I needed a little bit of something different on a match day. As I said, I've been following the club, working for the club, everything else over a 30 plus year period. And I just needed a little bit of a difference from a match day, just because it's the kind of person I am, I guess. I've always worked in kind of creative fields, and I found it was getting a bit mundane. Probably linked to when we were rubbish, to be fair. We just became a bit of a drag when you're going, getting up at 7 o'clock on a Saturday morning to go to Swansea or Charlton or wherever it was we were heading to. So I just wanted to do something a bit different. Been kind of inspired by the kind of stuff that Soccer Bible did in particular, that their fan kind of content that they created. And then subsequently loads of other accounts on Instagram in particular. There's loads of great football fan kind of photography accounts, and I just love the culture of football. So like I said, where Richie does such an amazing job, quite rightly, of the stuff that's on the pitch, and we all love that, and it's amazing because you want to see players celebrating and the great scenes, I think there's this great culture that exists in the stands I think that football fans get a hell of a lot of bad press at times, which is very unfair. But it's this weird, like, brilliant community and the stuff that happens, like, on the way to match day, and that kind of features in the books, the doing shots on a bus at 9 a.m. going to Luton, or the stuff that's in the stands. I don't think there's anything else like it in life that compares to the celebration of a goal and the way that, I always use this phrase, but collectively we kind of just lose our heads in that moment. And I just thought there was an opportunity to do something that kind of captured all those moments, and, you know, the behind the scenes stuff, the things that, yeah, you just tend not to see from a match day. And so, yeah, that's how our glorious banners started and what I've been doing for the last 4 or 5 years, I guess.
We've got some photos we'll go through to give people a flavour of the book. I mean, I assume you did it because of last season and everything that happened. Was that what prompted you to kind of take the leap into it?
Yeah, I mean, I've never thought about our glorious banners being anything like, I've never thought about selling products or anything. And people DM me and they're like, oh, I'm in this photo. Are you going to sell a print of it? And I just send them the photo because I'm just not interested in doing prints or anything like that. I've got a day job and this is just a hobby for me and something that I've enjoyed doing, and it's been good for me to do it. And so after obviously Wembley and last season, a few people were like, you've got to do something. And I hummed and hawed about it and probably started it like 6 or 7 times and just didn't know kind of how to put it all together. And my kind of technical expertise ends at taking a photo and then laying it out into an InDesign template. And I just didn't know where to start. So I think I kind of put myself off it. But then as we kind of got towards the World Cup break a couple of weeks ago, I was like, well, actually, it's not a bad time to do it. Obviously, our form had picked up on the pitch. I thought, well, people might be more receptive to it now as well. Found a great template that made life really, really easy and pieced it all together. I felt if I ever was going to do something, then last season, because I went to 44 games, and thank you to the people that have filled the gaps in the book from the games that I didn't go to. I had something against Cardiff because I missed both of those games last season, although we did lose both. So that was probably a good thing. And then also Swansea. So I've got something against Wales in general. Sorry to Brennan Johnson and everybody. I thought this is be the one thing that I would do. I just thought it's a good opportunity to raise some money for a couple of really good organisations as well. As I said, I've got no interest in kind of any kind of personal gain out of this project because I don't feel that it would be right for me to do that. So all of the proceeds from the book are going to be split 50-50 between Forza Garibaldi to help fund their amazing work and displays and everything else that they do at the City Ground, and then 50% to the Robin Hood Fund, which is an organisation that is raising money to then be distributed amongst charitable organisations in Nottingham that will work with those most in need in the city and the county during the winter and cost of living crisis and energy crisis, those food banks and organisations that are going to help people with energy bills and everything else. It's a really important job. So I thought the book, selling a few of them, would help to raise a little bit of money. It's kind of escalated a little bit after the first print run sold out in 54 minutes and now trying to get a second print run on sale. But it's great that, you know, so many people want to buy it, and but the knock-on impact of that is that they're going to help raise money for two great organisations.
Let's have a look at some of the photos then, so people who haven't heard about it can get a bit of a flavour of what it is. I'll put them up on the screen and you can talk us through them if you remember what game they are. I mean, this is a great shot. Do you know what game this is?
Well, it might not be too surprising that that's just after the final penalty of the Sheffield United second leg.
Yeah.
I think this is a great example of like my photos are very often out of focus, a bit blurry, because I am in the middle of the limbs. And as I said, I'm not a professional. So this one is a little bit out of focus, blurry. But in a way, I've always felt that that's kind of needed. It helps to capture the moment. And this one is just, as a few people have said to me, like, this just sums up everything from that moment. It's got the elation, it's got the, oh my God, what have we just happened? What's just happened? It's got the tears, it's just got everything. It was just the most incredible night. And that moment, when, you know, the penalty was missed and we were through to Wembley, just unbelievable. So yeah, I think it's difficult not to include that one in my like top five from the season.
You don't want it to be focused though, do you? Because everything about that moment was so frantic. It felt like everything did feel out of control for a second. Even in the press box, you're not supposed to get emotional, but it was hard. Exactly.
Yeah, and people that stand near me know that I'm not, when we score, I'm not thinking like photos straight away. I still go through this with everybody. I'm, you know, very passionate in my support, and so I get involved in the celebration, and then kind of a couple of seconds in, my head thinks, all right, just like start snapping, see what I get. But they're often even more blurry than this, but yeah, this one's just brilliant. You can see all of what it meant to everybody in that moment.
I remember after that game we did the podcast, and Greg said it was the best moment he'd ever experienced at the City Ground. I guess it was the same for you, was it?
Oh, without a doubt. I think in the course of time, we'll probably look back at that night and have more fond memories than Wembley, in a way, because the match at Wembley was dreadful. I know the ending was like just unbelievable and jubilant, and there's 13 pages on it in the book. But this game, just, it had everything. And again, in the book, for some of the games, I've done just a few words to kind of explain and give it context. And I say with this one, it just had everything. It had the history, it had the heroes and the villains on the night. It had that moment in the second half when we went 2-1 down and the entire ground stood up and started singing. And again, I always talk about that moment. It's like, that was a collective moment from our fan base where we were like, we're not messing this one up. We're going to get the boys over the line if we can. And it was just, yeah, it was an incredible night. And yeah, I think, as I say, in time, we'll probably look back on that one as being as equally enjoyable and important as the day at Wembley, if not more so.
Obviously, this is more of a visual episode. So for people who are listening, I'll post the photos on our Twitter feed. So at @GaribaldiRed_, if you are listening on iTunes. But hopefully you still get a flavour of what we're talking about anyway. The next one is this one. Yeah. I love the look on the woman's face.
I mean, this is, again, I always say I get lucky. But I guess photographers do even the best. Duke would say they get a little bit lucky at times. So I think this was the Huddersfield FA Cup game. And we were doing the display down at the Trent end. So I sit there at Bridgeford, so I'm not usually down the Trent end of the ground. And I was just walking back round and I spotted this couple in the front row. And because it was perfectly framed with the Garibaldi in the background on the boarding, I just thought it would be a nice photo. And then as I took the photo, obviously, he leaned in and there's just this, it just looks like a beautiful moment. And again, this is kind of what's talking about the culture of football, and that, you know, people don't necessarily see all this kind of stuff and how much the you know, going to the games and supporting Forest means to people. But I just thought that this picture and this moment encapsulated that quite nicely.
What are you taking these on? It's not an iPhone, obviously. You've got a professional setup, have you?
No, well, I'd hasten to add it's not professional in case any of the stewards or clubs around the country tried to stop me, which has happened on a couple of occasions. So I have a digital camera, and then I occasionally use a film camera as well, because film is very trendy and cool, and so I want to try and be trendy and cool. But it does get you some really nice photos at times. It's a lot more difficult to do the goal celebration stuff, and also a lot more difficult to do anything at night. So yeah, I have a decent-ish camera, but I believe it's within the rules and regulations that some clubs say do exist. around what you can take into the ground.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So if that one captures the kind of beauty and emotion of football in one way, I guess this one does in a different way on the yeah. bus, doing shots at, like, I think you said 9 a.m. or something.
Yeah. So this was, to going to Luton away, which I think was lunchtime kickoff, wasn't it? So it must have been 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. And again, this is, I talk about this one in the book and say, this is exactly what I wanted our glorious banners to be about. And it's that kind of fan culture, the behind-the-scenes stuff, the stuff that, unless you are a football fan, unless you're part of our weird little group that goes to games every week, whatever club you support around the country, you don't understand this and why this is kind of acceptable or something that we enjoy and celebrate. Because to the average person who's not a football fan, they look at this and think, what on earth is this lot doing at 9 a.m. doing shots on a bus to Luton? But it's just, it's football, right? And it's who we are, and it's what we love and enjoy. And so this is, this kind of the day out around the game. And, certainly we had a fair few years where the 90 minutes was the least enjoyable bit of the day. And a couple of hours before or after were, meeting up with friends and people that you only see at football matches, and having a good day out was the best part. So, last season we managed to blend both good football and good days out.
I guess we blended those two things mostly because of one man. You can see Steve Cooper in the background there. Talk to us about the photo and talk to us about Cooper.
So this is done on the film camera, and it's probably one of... I've talked a couple of times about being lucky, and with film you have to be even more lucky because most of them come out just a blurry, dark mess. But this one was perfect in that I'm not sure which game it was, but clearly, end of the match, we've won. Cooper fist bumps. Just managed to, he's come out in between the crowd who are giving it back to him. And Greg, who obviously does the podcast on a regular basis, he loves this photo and always says that this will stay the test of time. Like, in 20 years' time, people might see this photo and you'll know what season it was and you'll know who's doing that. Hopefully we'll be looking back on an even greater success of Cooper's reign as manager at Forest. So, I love this photo, and probably more so because it was taken on film. And then I guess Cooper impact, without him, we wouldn't have had last season. It's weird. I say it in the book that the start of last season was, it was strange because it was the first, the Coventry game was the first game we were allowed back to after COVID restrictions. So it's weird that the start of last season was that. It feels like an eternity ago. But also, like, we were bottom of the league. And I think when Cooper took over, we were happy just to get to mid-table, and we were all a little bit worried about getting relegated. And so it genuinely is like a second miracle on the banks of the Trent, to use that analogy, like what he achieved and what he did for us as a fan base. But I also think, more importantly, it's not just that he gave us a successful football team. He completely transformed the club and, to a point as well, the city. Like, how brilliant was it towards the end of the season and those big FA Cup games where the city just like was going bonkers for Forest. And, then the promotion to the Premier League and the scenes in Market Square, like the city hasn't seen stuff like that for years, decades. So I think his impact is absolutely huge, both in terms of what he was doing for us on the pitch, but then the wider context around the city and love him. Like, delighted he's got a new contract. Delighted the last few weeks have gone so well and we've started to see an upturn in form and performances, and long may that continue, and long may he continue as manager as well.
And just one more to show people who are watching and listening. I love this one. Where's that?
That is Peterborough away.
Okay.
So obviously, yeah. And that was just after the goal. Another game that we won. Again, going back to the point around culture in football, like, great pre-match. Like, everyone got there really early. I think everyone went on the train because it was so easy and localish. There was this pub or bar that was on a boat. It had a massive marquee area outside, and it just felt like every Forest fan, and there was like 4,000 of us that day, made their way to this marquee. And so for like 2 hours before kickoff, everyone was under this like marquee thing singing. The sound was amazing. So it just built up the atmosphere really brilliantly. And then, I reference it, that it was one of those days where you know you're going to win before kickoff. And we duly did, because we were on fire at that point, and just everything felt like it was going to be a win. And then, yeah, this photo is great, because you just got you keep looking at it. And again, people have said to me, like, you see something different every time. And you've got all these various like hugs going on in different places. And again, it just captures what it's like in the stands, and what I was saying at the start about, you just don't see this kind of stuff because people aren't usually taking photos of it. You're taking photos of Sam Surridge, I think it was, who scored on the day. And quite rightly so. But it's nice to see this stuff. And I get so many people message me and say, like, oh, thank you, got me this weekend. Like, thanks so much. I don't get to see what it's like to celebrate a goal. Or what, you know, I look like celebrating a goal. And so, yeah, it's just great. I just, yeah, love the, you don't, like I said at the start as well, like, you don't see this anywhere else in life. Like, you don't get, you know, albeit mates or random strangers just hugging themselves and having that like beautifully emotional moment. Even if you go to gigs or festivals, it's not the same. You don't get this kind of reaction. So just, yeah, another nice one that sums it up nicely, I think.
How did you find Premier League away days? Does it feel a bit so much bigger? Does it feel a bit more sanitised, or has it still got a different kind of magic? How do you feel about it?
It's difficult to say at the moment, because I think we're still just enjoying Premier League away days. Mm-hmm. So like that trip to Newcastle on the opening day was up there with one of my best ever away days, because it was, you know, gloriously sunny summer's day. It was our first day back. I've made the point a couple of times to people, but it was all mixed bars in Newcastle. So we were mixing with their fans, and they were like, yeah, great to have you back in the Premier League. And we were talking to them, and it was just a great day. Some of them a bit more difficult, like going to Man City and getting thumped. But, you know, I think you see a bit of a difference at the really big clubs. Like Man City is a bit more sanitised. There's not quite the atmosphere that you find bizarrely like going to clubs in the Championship. I actually thought they weren't as bad as people perhaps make out, but it wasn't great. Clubs like Newcastle, it was great. Like, huge amount of noise. You know, Arsenal was pretty good, but it's easy when your team's winning 5-0 to get behind your side. But again, at the same instance, it was kind of peaks and troughs with them. They'd score a goal and they'd sing for a bit, and then it would just go deathly silent. I think the experience for us, I have to say, I'm not missing the standard Tuesday night trips to Blackburn or Preston, or mm-hmm. It's always the Northwest clubs, isn't it, on a Tuesday night. And it's nice just to be more of a Saturday. It's different. It's enjoyable in a different way. I think our fans have been brilliant, both home and away, and I guess it'd be down to, hopefully, you know, we stay up for many years, and it's down to us to kind of keep our atmosphere going and not allow ourselves to become one of the sanitised Premier League clubs.
Yeah, how much does that matter to you? I guess because Forest are developing, I always sort of had it, but they're really developing last few years, that kind of Borussia Dortmund-style reputation of having the great noisy fans. Is that a personal badge of honour to the guys like you that go to, you know, 38 games a year?
Yeah, you're going to make Greg very happy by comparing us to Borussia Dortmund.
I know. I did think that when I said it.
I think, you know, it goes back to probably when, you know, Forza first started, and the great work that those guys and Greg, you know, part of that, Matt especially as well, you know, they started that when we were in the dark times, and saying, right, well, let's try and, you know, we can't affect what's going on the pitch or kind of the behind the scenes of the club under the previous ownership. But let's try and reinvigorate our passion and enjoyment. And it's grown steadily. And then, you know, great football helps, right? So last season, it probably really hit a crescendo, and it's carried on into this season because everyone's just loving the Premier League element. But I do take an element of pride of seeing the away fans commenting, having been to the City Ground, like, oh my God, what an atmosphere that was. They never stopped singing. And, you know, pundits and commentators saying things like, you know, if you can silence the Forest crowd after 20 minutes, well, you can't, because I think you've mentioned it before on the pod, like, if we go 1-0 down, we sing louder. And it's weird. And I'm never one to kind of get into, oh, our fans are better than your fans and all that kind of stuff. But I do think, you know, there's been something pretty special the last year or so, even back to the Sabri season as well. I think you started to see a real kind of change in the atmosphere during that season. And I think, yeah, it's nice to be regarded as one of the better atmospheres, the better places to go for a match at the City Ground. And then likewise, I think, yeah, our away fans, despite not having too much to cheer on the road this season yet, have kind of kept going and been brilliant as well.
As we said at the top, you've sold loads of the books. You've sold 1,000 already. Tell people how they can get it, and promise them they still can get it. I know as we record this, the website's crashed this morning, but it's like, yeah, the voting on the X Factor 20 years ago. But tell people about how they can get the book.
Yeah, people have been comparing it to Peter Kay tickets, which is...
That's a much more current reference than I thought.
Yeah, exactly. the first 1,000 sold in 54 minutes, which... perhaps was an underestimation on my behalf of how popular it would be, but amazing, humbling, incredible that people would want to get their hands on this so much. So they're done and dusted. And what I've said is, if you ordered in that first 1,000, we will get it to you by Christmas, because I know lots of people want this as a stocking filler. As of this morning, Wednesday, we tried to get it back on sale, and amazingly, everyone's so desperate to get hold of it, they've crashed the website. So we're fixing that, and hopefully it will be on sale at some point today. What I'm doing now is not a limited edition print run. The printers, Print 4 Limited in Nottingham, have been brilliant and helped out. And so we're going to just kind of get to a number and then print to that number. I will caveat, if that number gets too out of control, I'm going to have to start thinking about what I do, because this isn't an Amazon-style operation. There's probably going to be a handful of us packing all of these and getting them shipped off. They'll be available at some point in the next few hours or days at the Forza Garibaldi website. Again, as I mentioned, all proceeds are going 50-50 split between Forza and the Robin Hood Fund, which you can find at the robinhoodfund.org, I think. And I know the Nottingham Post are big supporters of the campaign as well. So if you go to the Post website, you'll find more information about it as well. And if you're kind enough to buy one of the books, you're going to help fund what Forza are planning for the second half of the season, hopefully. And help those most in need in Nottingham over the winter.
So ForzaGaribaldi.com, as Simon says, is where you can get the book. Are you enjoying the World Cup before we go? Or are you hating it from a fan point of view?
Difficult. I watched the England and the Wales games, and it was all right. I won't get too political, but I don't necessarily agree with a lot of the things. I did actually work on England's bid to host the 2018 or 2022 World Cup. So it feels a little bit painful knowing that perhaps it should have been in England, either in 2018 when it just as bad went to Russia, or this one that has gone to Qatar. So yeah, it's not enjoyable. It's not the same. It's weird watching games in the middle of winter. It's weird seeing like the fan zones where BBC cut to a fan zone in Manchester. Everyone's like huddled up, freezing cold. If I'm being totally honest, I'd rather be watching Forest every weekend.
Yeah, I would as well. I would as well. I've watched a lot of the games. No, I haven't worked. I'm not. Don't have the games on in the background at all while I'm working. The games I have seen. I mean, I enjoyed England well enough, but it's hard to get into it. I mean, the atmosphere in the ground yesterday, Argentina, as we record this, Argentina v Saudi Arabia was good, but it doesn't feel like a World Cup yet. Maybe it will, and as you say, for all the obvious reasons about everything that's so wrong with it, it does take the gloss off it a bit, but hopefully England go well. Right, we shall leave it there. We'll be back next Monday with a really good episode. I won't say who it is because I always move these episodes around. Yeah, but I've recorded a really, really good one. One of them, probably the best one I've done, I think. So we'll put that out on Monday in the meantime. Simon, thank you very much.
Thank you, Matt.
Do buy the book, but don't buy too many because I think Simon and Greg and the others might have a bit of a breakdown packing it all, but it does go to a good cause, as we say. So in the meantime, have a good week, everyone, and we shall see you soon.